I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, protection. Christian Lawson is the clinical director of emergency services at the UNC Medical Center in Chapel Hill. He's got a pretty important job right now. He's helping to plan for every scenario his hospital system may face during the COVID-19 outbreak.
I want to be criticized in 6 months for overplanning and likely probably spending too much money because these responses are obviously really expensive. I think we cannot mess around with this virus at all.
Lawson and others have to make plans for a variety of possibilities, including one where half of UNC healthcare providers may get sick with COVID-19. According to a large survey of hospitals released earlier today, the shortage of equipment that might keep that from happening is frightening.
So we heard hospitals going out and trying to source these masks at auto part shops, nail salons, art supply stores.
That's Anne Maxwell with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General, and she oversaw the report. The survey simply confirmed what we've heard from healthcare workers who are working in incredibly dangerous conditions. So let's start there with Rose Hoban, editor at North Carolina Health News. Rose is also a registered nurse and worked previously in ER departments, and she explains how intubating a patient with COVID-19 has become a critical and fraught act.
Well, I don't think it comes as news to anybody that being a doctor or nurse or respiratory therapist isn't for the squeamish. Mm. Like, if you faint at the sight of blood or you get super grossed out by the thought of thick, gooey, green pus or sputum, then don't have dinner with me. Anyway, suffice it to say that intubating somebody is always pretty messy, especially if it's done in an emergency situation. Things have to happen. They have to happen quickly. You have to tilt the patient's head back to the proper angle, hold the jaw open, insert a long tube into their windpipe. And while you're doing it, you want your patient sedated and or on muscle relaxants. You have to time all that stuff correctly because, in particular, if you administer the muscle relaxants before the person is doing the intubation is ready, the patient isn't able to breathe on their own, right? So That's a big issue. So once that tube gets down, if the patient coughs, if they're not completely sedated or have a muscle relaxant on board, there's lots of sputum that can get aerosolized through the tube until they get the ventilator attached. Then once that mechanical ventilator is attached, it does the breathing for the patient, but you have to get all the settings right and individualized based on a person's normal tidal flow, namely that amount of volume that goes in and out of the lungs, the pressure at which that's delivered, then the mix of oxygen and other gases that people need to breathe. Those settings are fine-tuned to each patient based on things like their size, their weight, the condition of their lungs. Mm-hmm. That's why this whole idea of sharing ventilators is so difficult. National organizations for anesthesiologists, critical care doctors and nurses, respiratory care personnel, et cetera, put out a joint statement basically sort of tamping down the enthusiasm for sharing ventilators.
Right.
Then there's the caring for people on a vent. So you've got this person, they're paralyzed, they have machine breathing for you, their lungs continue to fill with gunk, mm-hmm. right? So you got to get that gunk out. So the nurses or respiratory therapists have to suction the gunk out. They have to do mouth care. These are all really intimate acts, and you're using like suction, so it could cause aerosolization of virus-laden droplets. That's why the N95 masks are so important for people doing the bedside care, because they're really up close and personal with these patients. Like I saw a guy this weekend at the farmer's market wearing an N95 mask, and I was like, dude, that's overkill.
Right. What you described really illustrates what PPE does, protective personal equipment does for the people who are on the front lines of this. And in a piece you did for North Carolina Health News that published this morning, you went into that detailed process of what doctors and nurses are doing to try to protect themselves and their families from getting infected. Give us a sense of some of those kind of unique efforts that healthcare workers are going to.
Well, it runs the gamut. Like, I have a neighbor who's a doc at UNC's intensive care unit, and I interviewed him about PPE, and he talked about having coworkers who've had beards as long as, like, you know, their wives have never met them without a beard, right? And they've shaved them off in order to wear their N95 masks and have them fit appropriately, right? Because you want it to be sort of airtight around your mouth and nose. From there, it's stuff like people taking an extra half hour or hour to change, shower, disinfect, clean off their shoes, coming home at the end of the day, changing in the garage, taking off their clothes and like walking straight into the shower once they get home. And then, of course, there's people choosing to send their children elsewhere or separate themselves from older family members. I was on the call this morning with some folks from UNC Healthcare, and their head of emergency services said, you know, he's a single dad, and he sent his son to stay with his parents in Arkansas. You know, those stories are pretty, they're pretty heartbreaking. They're hard to hear, you know.
Right. And a lot of these fears, challenges, and other things came out today in this really sort of large survey that came out from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General, which had surveyed all these hospitals and gotten some of these anecdotes, but also gotten a better sense nationally of some of these shortages of PPE. I'm wondering if you saw it and what else caught your eye in that survey of hospitals.
And that was really impressive. They did a nice job on that. You know, and there are things that, right, we expect, as you say, like they talk about lack of testing supplies. This was interesting, the long turnaround for test results, like up to 7 days. So like you've got a patient in a bed and you have to treat them as if, you know, so you've got a shortage of PPE as it is. You don't know if they're infected. So you're still treating them that way while you're waiting 7 days on those test results. I mean, you could discharge somebody by then. You know, those things weren't like a huge surprise because we've heard a lot about that in the media. But things that I hadn't thought about were issues like having enough IV poles, medical gases like oxygen, which are so critical for these patients, linens, toilet paper, like everybody else,
right?
You know, cleaning supplies, foods. They also talked about the problems with inconsistent guidance from national leaders. And then, of course, there's the whole issue of decreased revenue because hospitals aren't doing any elective procedures. In that call with UNC Healthcare this morning, they said they'd emptied out the hospital so much that they were down to 60% capacity. And they were saying that the hospital was eerily quiet. The guy who was the head of emergency services compared it to being tethered to a rickety dock in a wooden boat and watching the water recede from the bay, knowing that the tsunami is coming and you're just going to have to hold your breath and hold on.
Wow.
So, and finally, I thought it was really interesting that hospitals are having to think about things like feeding their staff, helping them find care for their children, you know, promoting accommodations. Like, this is a big change for an organization like a hospital. They're not having to think about all those social services usually.
Rose Hoban is the editor of NorthCarolinaHealthNews.org. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Hi there, my name is Celeste Gracia, and I work with Dave at WUNC North Carolina Public Radio, which produces this podcast. And this is a good time to say thank you to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you are an individual donor or a business, we can't say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history, and we couldn't do it without your help. So thank you. And if you are able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or to increase your support.
As we've heard, doctors, nurses, anyone and everyone who works at a hospital or transports patients, they're all going through unique and traumatic times, and it doesn't stop when they get home. It's hard to imagine anything worse than spending all day trying to save lives and stay safe, and then being faced with the possibility that you get home and have to worry about infecting your family. And it's equally tough on spouses and children. Lorraine Qualley is married to Dr. Mark Qualley. They live in Burlington.
We just have to work with what we have right now. This is an incredibly unique situation, and it's moment by moment for us. Day by day went out the window a long time ago. It is moment by moment.
Qualley spoke with WGHP in Greensboro. Her husband works in the ER department at Alamance Regional Medical Center. they understandably worried about his health and how he could distance from his family. The options they explored were either too expensive or too upsetting, until they came across a Facebook page, RVs for MDs, that matched up healthcare workers with RV owners. Soon, they had a donated 24-foot Wildwood Forest River travel trailer parked in their driveway.
You know, if he had to go stay at a hotel or somewhere else, that's something that was unbearable for me because I couldn't check on him and make sure that he was going to be okay.
Again, that story produced by WGHP is at Fox8.com, and a hat tip to Rose for pointing that story out. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Lindsay Foster Thomas is our executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.